been a primary author of two of the largest tax cuts in the history of our state.
Let the eagle soar.
Son, go outside and dust yourself off. And when you feel good again, come back in and talk to me. We know what they would have done because we know what they did.
Hero. I've been here. Hero.
We are going to fight for Missouri values. We are going to defend life, and we are going to protect our constitutional rights.
What I am trying to do to simply make tomorrow just a little bit better than today.
All right, welcome to a new episode of the Hashtag Mobile Edge podcast. We are back, and we're going to try some new things. I am eternally flattered at how many people listen to me, Rachel Herndon, if you don't know who you're listening to right now. And also Ben Peters, one of our superstar reporters, interview people on a regular basis. So today, you are listening to me, Rachel Herndon, Ben Peters. Thank you for joining me, Ben.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It's always nice to see you on a Monday morning.
I know, it's so pleasant.
I know. And Alicia. Alicia is with us very reluctantly, but I gave her a lot of coffee. So we're going to start on Monday mornings doing a breakdown of the last week, a preview of this week, and just talk about what's going on. So first thing up is we have the top five stories of last week. The most read stories on themissouritimes.com. And if you're a subscriber, you see these every Monday morning in your Whispering Gallery email. If you don't get the Whispering Gallery email, you should subscribe. If you're interested in that, you can email me, and I'd be happy to set you up. Anyway, so the first story, written by Ben Peters, was House Budget Committee lambasts DHSS and Parks Administration over trauma care program. So, interim budget hearing.
Fiery.
How long was it? 6 hours?
Yeah, we got in there about 9:30 in the morning, and we finally left at 4:30, and that was only because people literally had places they had to get to.
Yeah.
We could have gone much longer on all of that, but I think hats off to Budget Chairman Scott Fitzpatrick for making the call to let everyone go home and leave, because it seemed like that last bit wasn't going anywhere soon. So
why is Chairman Fitzpatrick upset with DHSS?
So the story there is that the issue revolves around the Time Critical Diagnosis Program. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's a program that deals with like stroke and heart attack patients, and the point of it is to make sure that they get the most appropriate care possible in the shortest amount of time. So it's basically just trying to streamline things as quickly as possible to get people the care that they need. The issue there is that Governor Parson actually vetoed $153,000 from the budget for that particular item. So that actually means about three full-time employees aren't going to be paid anymore, which, the department at the time basically said, well, that just means the discontinuation of the program. There's been some backlash about that. I want to say it really kind of came out with a tweet from Representative Rocky Miller.
Yeah, that was discussed on This Week in Missouri Politics on Sunday. If you haven't seen that, you should watch it. They talked a lot about smoke signals, which is always fun.
So what happened from that tweet really opened up the conversation, and I guess the best way to put it is that everyone became really concerned about it, and they said that getting rid of that funding would have devastating impacts for people. It's a life-saving thing is what they're saying. The day before this budget hearing, Parson actually said that he didn't think it'd have any real effect. People were more concerned by what they're hearing, didn't say that they thought that there'd be any real change to service, but when they actually came in and started testifying on it the next day, it's pretty clear that the House committee had a lot of feelings about it.
And so is this something they can override in September?
In theory, yeah, they can override. You have to get the votes, but I don't know.
Because it's a line item in the budget, right?
Right. So you could override any of these veto items. The question is, will they? Mm-hmm. It kind of seems to be up in the air on whether that's going to happen. But I mean, the thought process is, does the committee really want to go against a Republican governor whenever most of the committee is typically a Republican? So
do you think this hearing had any solvency, any solutions presented, or do you think we're going to be seeing the budget committee back soon?
I think that we're probably going to be seeing some returned conversations, particularly in some of the other things that popped up. It seems pretty clear that a lot of them would, you know, there's a lot of advocating for the overriding of these vetoes, but again, that conversation then boils down to, will they get enough votes to override?
The second story from the top five last week, I believe Alicia wrote, Parson meets with rural leaders, says he'll be supporting right to work campaign. So last week, the governor had a lot of meetings. Oh, it was Ben who wrote it. Sorry. Someday we'll hear from Alicia. but he had a lot of meetings last week, and it's been really nice as a email person to be getting schedules of the things the governor is doing.
Well, it's a really refreshing thing with the governor because, you know, we just had a prior governor who did not meet with the press or really have any conversations with us. But since Parson has taken office, it seems like we've always had the opportunity at the very least to go catch him before a meeting where he'll even tell us, okay, I'm going to give you 10 minutes before this meeting. Okay. He'll literally come out of the room, sit there and talk with you, answer a couple questions. But even the tone of communication now has just changed in the sense that we now get these weekly schedule updates. We get, you know, any type of releases of, oh, we'll be talking about this, or even in the sense of they hosting dinners now and they'll invite the media to come to
come take a picture of the governor's mansion of who's visiting. So that's been, it's been nice. And it's kind of funny, like, if you haven't been up to the press corps, there's actually a picture, and I don't know which governor was. Obviously, it was a governor before anyone in the press corps was alive. But they had the entire press corps wrapped around the governor's desk, just having a conversation with pen and paper, no recorders. But it's pretty cool to have access and transparency again. Anyway, so lots of meetings last week.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest things come out that is that Governor Parson will be supporting right to work, which makes sense. He was very recently in the legislature. He voted for right to work then.
Yeah. So I think that it really shouldn't surprise anyone that he's going to, you know, be pushing for right to work. He did say that he's, quote, going to be out there on the campaign. So we'll probably be seeing him making some public appearances just on the right to work issue as we get closer to that date. So. Yeah. Who knows?
And it was a late breaking story, but Thursday evening, right? Whenever there was a duck boat in Branson that sank, and the governor was out there, and he was actively involved, and he was meeting with the sheriff. He's a former sheriff, so
As soon as it was nice to see him.
Yeah, it wasn't a tacky.
No,
it was very graceful.
Yes, as soon as that news broke, they were down there. They were meeting with people. He went and met with the law enforcement emergency responders that morning and talked to all of them. He actually went to the hospital and met with some of the survivors, just talked with them. So as soon as news broke, yeah, he had feet on the ground. So he's very proactive in that. So
third top story of last week, new polling projects Hawley with slight edge over McCaskill, right to work failing in August. So right to work is currently polling not well. It looks like that's going to fail.
Yeah, the indications from polling is that the right to work issue, I think it was the poll said something like 56% said no if they were voting on it today. 38% said yes. So, I mean, the name of the game for that particular campaign has been getting the information out there for both sides. And that's all you can do with this. But anytime you're doing any type of initiative, petition, or anything like that, it's getting the word out and informing people on why they should vote either way. So,
and the anti-right to work campaign's been on the ground for a few months now. And I get a lot of emails from like county committees for both Republicans and Democrats, which I love seeing. I love knowing what's going on. And it seems like a lot of the county Republican headquarters have recently got their yes on Prop A signs this past week. So I fully expect to be seeing more from that campaign, which we'll circle back to. Because the next thing we're going to talk about is the five campaigns to watch this week. The fourth story that had the most hits was the July 2018 tip sheet, statewide, state Senate, and House. So that is being updated regularly with more House information in case you missed it. We have a very large House, and every 2 years it's up for re-election or election. And so you can go look at that and see a lot of the open seats, a lot of the information we've gathered from that, and what to expect there. We'll circle back to that. And the fifth one, audit discovery leads to Attorney General filing public corruption charges. So Attorney General Josh Hawley filed charges against the Greenville County Clerk, or City Clerk.
Former City Clerk.
And that her Auditor Galloway had audited them. She does a lot of local government audits. And Hawley filed public corruption charges. So this former city official embezzled like $150,000. Is that right?
It was a little over $150,000. The audit was done by Galloway at the request of the Attorney General's office, and it has not been released publicly, but she did turn over the evidence she found, which led to the public corruption fund.
In Greenville City, down in Wayne County, very small town, relatively speaking. That's a huge chunk of change.
Well, yeah, to be writing checks out to yourself without authorization, right? That's kind of a huge deal.
Right?
I mean, I think everyone can look at that pretty easily and go, oh, okay, something sketchy there.
Yeah.
And so it seems like a little bit of a no-brainer on that particular thing. It's just somebody done messed up, and somebody done gonna pay for it.
Anyway, so that happened. And it's kind of interesting. There's been an ongoing conversation as to whether the Attorney General can or cannot prosecute, and he is actively prosecuting in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, interesting story to follow as to watch and see how government works in that instance. Anyway, so the next ditty is five primary races to watch this week. We are 2 weeks out from the primaries.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of them that are worth watching. First one up is House District 97, former Rep. John McCarty's seat. Mike Rebus won it. He's a Democrat. He won it in the special election last year. And there is a three-way Republican primary to see who's going to be up against Rebus in November. So Alicia's got notes that I'm going to cheat and look at, but we've got Mary Elizabeth Coleman. She has been called more than once the hardest working candidate in Missouri. She is a mother of six. She is an attorney. Very nice woman. She was on the TV show Sunday. Do you want to catch her in action? And then we've got Linton, who was up against Rebus in the special election. He's the son of a state rep, right?
Yep.
Former state rep.
And Alicia had a great story last week breaking down those candidates, who they are, what they're doing. And as always, you will have regular seat campaign updates from us, like always. Anyway, I encourage you to read Alicia's story. Also go to the House tip sheet and see maybe how those votes are going to break down. But definitely a race to watch. Probably one of the most competitive Republican primaries. It's three very strong candidates, and they're all out there working very hard.
It might be one of the most interesting House races out there right now, just because of that three-headed prong of Republican candidates.
Yeah. So another race to watch this week, see what they're doing, is Senate District 16. We've obviously been talking about the seat a lot. We polled it last week. It's got Representative Diane Franklin, Justin Brown.
Yeah, Justin Brown.
Who is the current Senator Dan Brown's son. And Representative Keith Frederick. So three names, three people who know what they need to do. And Representative Franklin was first to TV. Brown just had a fundraiser with Lieutenant Governor Kehoe. And Frederick's a very smart man, so he's out there working very hard, too. So I would fully expect to start seeing some firecrackers there.
I mean, we're already getting to that point because it's already a tough race. Number one, replacing Doc Brown is going to be very hard.
And if I remember correctly, Doc Brown beat an incumbent to get that seat.
Yeah.
So it's a competitive district. It's down there by the lake. It's a very, it stretches from a lake to Rolla. It's literally it's a very large
lake to Rolla down to Fort Leavenworth area. So it's a very wide area. But the funny thing about it when you look at it is the breakdown of how everything kind of plays out. Because you kind of get this county kind of breakdown where Camden, obviously Representative Franklin, kind of has the hold on Camden County. Obviously, Justin Brown and, you know, Dr. Frederick, they probably got a more of a handhold in the Rolla area. So, really, the most interesting thing there to watch is probably how Pulaski County votes in this, because they might actually be the swing vote to this entire thing.
And if you missed it, we released polling last week for the race. We've got Justin Brown at 27%, Diane Franklin 25%, Keith Frederick at 20%, and undecided 28%.
It can literally go any way with those numbers.
Yeah. And so, watch, see what happens there. Yeah. Speaking of large districts, Senate District 18, the largest geographical district in the state, got a four-way Republican primary between Cindy O'Loughlin, Representative Craig Redmond, Representative Nate Walker, and Representative Lyndall Shoemake. O'Loughlin has the overall fundraising advantage. Redmond had a great quarter. Walker has that geographic advantage being for Kirksville.
Mm-hmm.
Lyndall Shoemake has also a good geographic advantage being from the Hannibal area. There's been a ton of forums. Like, it seems like every week they're having a forum. They had a forum last week in Macon County. The Macon County Free Press streamed it. Which was interesting because on several issues they are very well aligned. But there were some attacks on Cindy O'Loughlin last week. It seems like there's some independent expenditures from some trial attorneys around the state targeting O'Loughlin.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of recent attack ads came out, particularly last week. And she's been pretty vocal about some of those.
She's been responding on Facebook.
Yeah, she even posted some of the attorneys and their firms and how much they actually paid for some of those ads.
And their phone numbers and said, if you...
Feel free to call. So, no, she's not going to back down from any attack ads. It's not going to change anything there. So
we have a This Week in Missouri Politics debate between these four candidates coming up. It will air the Sunday before the primaries. It will be airing up in their district, also in St. Louis. It will be very interesting to see what these candidates start doing, because there's a lot of consultants who are very smart working on these races, and it's about that time for the attacks to start. Fourth campaign to be watching, Right to Work. We talked about it a little bit, but the... Yes on Right to Work is mobilized. They are hiring canvassers. The No on Right to Work has had canvassers out all over the state. If you are like Scott and I and you're driving all over this beautiful state, driving a lot right now, you see the yard signs everywhere. And I mean, they say yard signs don't win campaigns, but they sure do help.
Well, right now, I don't think there's anything that is more contentious in the state than that particular issue. Mm-hmm. Like, all these elections, yes, they're huge, but nothing is probably going to be more, how do I put it, nothing's going to get voters out more this August than this particular issue. And you're already seeing the labor unions just galvanized by all this, and they're just all pushing everywhere. But at the same time, their opponents on the other side of the aisle, they're out there just as much too. So it's, again, it's one of those things where you look at this issue, it's going to have such a huge effect on a number of people that I think we might actually see some of the largest numbers at the polls on an August primary that we've seen in a long time.
And it's kind of interesting. Most of the people who support Right to Work are Republicans, but then again, Republicans are also split on not supporting it as well.
Yeah.
And I thought it was kind of interesting. I got an email this morning, and since we're going to be doing these regularly, as just an aside, feel free to send us emails with fun questions or pertinent questions, relevant questions, and work them in case you're interested. I get a lot of texts from people, and I love it. But anyway, there's a question right now. If Right to Work fails, are they going to refile it next year?
I think it's almost a guarantee.
So there was an observer who said if it's a close loss, they will be filing it again. If it's a major loss, they'll probably wait a few decades. Well, which makes sense.
I mean, history kind of says that's how it goes anyway.
Yeah, that's true. It's common sense.
Right.
But in case you didn't know. And then there's another Republican primary. We haven't written about it yet. But I'm sure we will soon. It's the Republican primary to replace Rick Bratton. It's HD 55. It's out in Cass County. Which if you have never campaigned in Cass County, it is a joy. But you've got a former county official, Michael Vink. You've got a veteran, Mike Hafner, and a third candidate that I don't know much about. Do you know much about, Alicia? Alicia's looking at me.
I do not, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce
the name. It is quite the last name. Anyway, so Vink's out there working hard. Hafner's out there working hard. They've got smart people on their team. And I would expect to see something out of both those campaigns this week. Either just ramping up and spending that money or attacking the other people. But there's going to be some movement there, I would fully expect. And if you ever want to see just how conservative rural Missouri is getting, I think HD 55 is a good one. Ben is nodding his head.
Yeah, it's a pretty good indicator, I would think.
And then so those are the five races to watch, definitely, this week. A lot of hard workers, obviously, if they want to win, got to work hard.
Well, and especially now, because it's crunch time. We're two weeks out. This is literally win, lose, or draw the scenario.
Yep.
So, there's...
So the next thing I want to talk about is something Ben and I have kind of been observing, Alicia's been observing, because I've had her start reporting more on corrections. As you know, the Missouri Times tries to report on as much state government and politics as possible, which is a lot of ground. But corrections is something very interesting to watch, especially right now. There's been a growing instability, and there's been... literally riots at the Tipton Correctional Center. There's been some issues at Jefferson City Correctional Center here in Jefferson City, obviously. But there was a report from ABC 17, I think it aired Sunday, where three corrections officers came forward anonymously and told ABC 17 that it was a lot worse than corrections led on to. It was multiple days of instability, not a good situation. So it came to my attention yesterday, and this was in the Whispering Gallery this morning. If you read it, if you haven't read it yet, there's more information on it there. But apparently there's also a national effort, and Corrections Central Office has apparently been tipped off, which one of my sources tipped me off to. But incarcerated workers are set to strike on August 21st. And here in Missouri, apparently a hit has been issued for a corrections employee to be killed, which is obviously a problem. And apparently what I've been told is that prisoners don't feel like their issues are being addressed. And it seems like there's been more instability over the past 2 years. There's been a new corrections director who's made a lot of changes. And there's also just been normal issues that happen in prisons. Like JCCC had their air conditioner go out. Ice machine was also out. Like, that's not a great place to be trapped in with hardened criminals. Well, whenever there's no AC and no ice. And apparently the mess hall was down for a few days because they had bug issues.
Right.
Like, at this point, what can't go wrong?
Well, and we have to remember there, too, that you've got these correctional officers in there who are often putting in overtime every week. Mm-hmm. Like, we're looking at anywhere
from... A shortage of 700 employees right now, of open spots that need to be filled.
So these guys are looking at anywhere from 12 to 16-hour days. So
yeah, it's not like they're well-paid.
Right. Yeah. I think it's second lowest in the nation among corrections. So everyone who's worked any job knows that a lot of overtime and not that great a pay is not that great of a situation. But whenever you add that kind of, I mean, let's just say a danger to that kind of situation, that at what point do you even have a conversation of, do I even feel safe going into work for that pay? Or what's, you know.
There was a quote from one of the anonymous officers on the AB 17 report that said, "A lot of times when you're 14 and a half hours into a shift and something happens, like a fight or a medical emergency, it's difficult to respond correctly or on time. I don't even feel that the people they're holding over would be able to respond if something did happen. When I'm in a house, I pretty much feel like I'm being paid to be a hostage." Mm-hmm. So, obviously a problem there.
I mean, it's a scary situation.
Absolutely. And so, hopefully, nothing happens with that hit, because, I mean, obviously that would be awful. And it's one of those interesting situations, because I have several friends, acquaintances, etc., who work in the prisons. And my first thought was, just take off on August 21st. Like, I obviously don't want you to be murdered. And they raise an interesting point that if they take off, then they're telling the inmates they're afraid.
Right.
And they lose their power. And I had never thought about that. Obviously, I do not work with hardened criminals. I work with lovely people like you, listener, and Ben and Alicia, who might...
She pointed at me, so everyone knows.
Anyway, this is something we're watching, because it's a very tricky situation that obviously is being assessed by people who know a lot more about corrections and criminal justice than I do.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the department decides to handle some of this stuff, because, mm-hmm. you know, you got to take threats seriously at some extent, so I'm sure that there's some conversations that we're not privy to that are happening right now.
Absolutely. And, I mean, on top of that, I've got sources who say there's been a lot of program changes, but at the same time, there's been programs like Puppies for Parole that everyone loves that I think just had their 5,000th adoption.
Yeah.
So some some programs obviously flourishing. Other programs are struggling right now. So that's interesting. On a lighter note, I have had a lot of people who have said, you know, it'd be great if you make the podcast fun. Whenever Becky is here, she does 5 questions with Becky. My wonderful husband has been having me listen to a lot of other podcasts, and sometimes they do fun questions similar to the 5 questions with Becky. And so Ben, Alicia, and I are each choosing a question to throw out to the table to be answered by each other. I know there's a lot of animosity towards a lot of the press, but mostly we don't feel that here at the Missouri Times. We enjoy having a good relationship with our sources and our readers.
I mean, people love me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, people say they love me. I don't know if they're just lying. And you know, if you are, just keep on keeping.
We appreciate if you at least fake it. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah, just smile and keep giving me those like soft peppermints. I love those. You know who I'm talking about right now. Okay, so Ben, have you chosen your fun question?
You know, I feel like I've been put on kind of the spot, and I don't have a fun
question. I told you like 30 minutes ago.
Right. And like I said, I feel like I've been put on the spot with that. So,
Alicia, do you have a fun question?
I've Googled it.
You Googled it. Are you at conversationstartersworld.com? Because I'm a fan. I'm a fan of that site.
That is where I'm in.
Okay, yes. So what do you got?
What is your biggest screw up in the kitchen?
My biggest screw up in the kitchen. I do not screw up often in the kitchen, to be completely frank. I was very blessed to have been taught to cook by an amazing woman up in Schuyler County. And so it's been a long time since I really jacked something up. And I'm going to keep thinking about that. Alicia, I heard you had an issue with some macaroons once, though.
Yes.
Ooh, yes. Please do tell.
Wait, hold on. So I read something the other day that there's like 3 pronunciations for 3 different things, and apparently I'm just slowly turning into a Missouri hick. But to be clear, we're talking about the little egg white sandwiches, right?
Yes.
With the buttercream in the middle.
That are really, really delicious to eat.
Delicious. Takes forever to cook. I made some for you because you jacked up so royally.
Yes.
And to be clear, I literally made almond flour from scratch for Alicia. So if you don't know her, you should know that that's how much I love her, is that I made flour from scratch in a ninja blender. But still, it's not like I was grating it by hand.
I don't know exactly where it went wrong on the macaroons, but they turned out really, really hard. We're to the point, like, if you dunked it in milk, it actually got harder.
I think you defied physics.
I was impressed.
But I will say, Alicia, I went on vacation a few weeks ago. Month and a half ago, whatever, down to Branson. Lots of fun. We're a big fan of Big Cedar down there. If you haven't been, you should go. Great spa. Alicia watched my dogs and made sure my house didn't burn down, and I came back and there were apple pie hand pies.
I have a question.
They were great. She makes great pie, everybody. But apparently she hates cooked apples. So she made us something that she hates. So thank you for not taste testing that and just leaving it for us.
I just have a question about that last comment where she watched the dogs and made sure the house didn't burn down. Does that imply that the dogs are capable of burning the house down?
I mean, you've met my dogs. And you know, I'm more worried about the cats. They're pretty sketchy. If you don't know me, I've got two rather large dogs. And I have two cats, Buttercup and Casanova. Casanova
is... He would definitely set something on fire.
Yeah, he's been with me since I moved out of my parents' house. And I realized the other day, he's like 10 years old. Doesn't look a day over two, probably. I mean, he does, because he's fat. Anyway, Casanova has a lot of love whenever the team works at my house. So we have like a little office set up in my basement. And Casanova is all about Team Missouri Times. So, Ben, how have you screwed up in the kitchen?
You know, at home in the kitchen, I don't have a whole lot of issues. But I will say that whenever I used to work at Lee's Chicken when I was working through college, we had an issue in there with one of the fryers where somebody new was training. And they dropped the oil from the fryer without turning the heat off. Oh. So when you do that, you actually catch the entire fryer on fire. Yeah. And I realized at the time that I had not explained everything to him as well as I should have. So that was kind of on me. Luckily, I was right there, so I knew to grab a giant pan of flour and just throw that on it.
Man,
and
you know, it's funny, we talk about this on a regular basis, but Ben, Alicia, and I, and definitely Scott, on a regular basis miscommunicate, which is amazing, because that's our job, is to communicate, and we can communicate with you perfectly. It's just each other.
It really is. There's I don't know how many times I've asked Rachel something along the lines of, okay, and in the conversation that we had in your head, what did I say?
Yeah.
So that's a pretty common occurrence, actually.
Yeah.
I will say that I have my question ready now.
Oh, hold on. I actually came up with my answer.
Oh, yes.
I had a screw-up in the kitchen literally on Saturday. So I'm kind of doing a diet right now, and my diet is basically stop eating garbage. As I sit here guzzling coffee made with a little bit of coffee in it. So I had this craving. I'm a big fan of oatmeal cream pies. I may as well go coach the Alabama football team. Love oatmeal cream pies. And so huge craving for them, and did not have regular oats because I only have steel cut oats because those are healthy and they're obviously still sealed and in the back of the cabinet, not being eaten. Anyway, couldn't make oatmeal cream pies from scratch. And if I did, that'd be terrible. So I was like, okay, what do I love that's in oatmeal cream pies? And the answer is like cinnamon. And the sugary and the creamy. So in my head, I was like, I will just candy some almonds. So I have never candied nuts before. And so I toasted the almonds. And then I put up this recipe. And I should have read it through and known that it was a bad recipe. But I ended up basically making caramel to the hard boil point. So whenever it cooled off, I made basically almond brittle.
Yeah.
And delicious if you don't value your teeth. So there's some upstairs. You guys want to swing by my house? it was kind of funny. Like, I love watching cooking shows a lot because they're basically one of the only family-friendly things that we can watch around here that doesn't drive me absolutely bonkers. And they always make the caramel strings in glass. Mm-hmm. Well, I learned how to do that.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, I made a lot of it. There's probably caramel all over my kitchen, just random spots.
Is that really a screw-up, though?
No, I thought that was fun. But needless to say, I bought some oatmeal cream pies on Sunday, and they were delicious.
By the way, anybody who's listening, the Missouri Times always approves of oatmeal cream pies, so...
We're very pro-oatmeal cream pie, yes. Right here.
Took a poll. We all love it, so...
That's wrong. I've never actually eaten one.
Oh, what?
Wait, so if you don't know this, Alicia is from the state of Oregon, the one right below Washington State, the one right above California.
I think where she's, all the just from, are. She's just from the state of Sheltered, apparently.
Yeah. So are Little Debbie's like do you guys not have those? Have you heard of Hostess?
Yeah.
Like Swiss rolls? They have salmonella right now, apparently. In case you miss it,
wouldn't
things right now that have salmonella. Hostess Swiss rolls. Ritz crackers, and McDonald's salads.
Okay, I wouldn't want the salad, but the other two, I'll still go ahead and eat it.
Yeah, I'm going to eat it. I didn't realize, like, baked goods could have salmonella, but these are some random press releases I get. I don't know if it's safe yet to eat romaine, but I'm going to do it sometimes.
I guess my response to all that is maybe the rest of you should just try being like me and just have the greatest immune system ever. So, you know, just don't be a wimp.
Your immune system's great, except when it's not. And then it's always really inconvenient timing.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know.
Great timing for me.
All right. What is your fun question, Ben?
It's actually an either or kind of question. So this is a choose your answer carefully. So the option is that you can either get a time machine and go back in time and fix your mistakes, or $10 million.
Are you specifically talking about the story that we had to correct 2 years last week? We had like a 2-year streak.
You know, I thought that was...
We don't do corrections a lot right here because we just don't mess up.
This is true. And, you know, I feel really bad about it. And thank you for bringing it up, by the way.
You got it.
But, yeah, I'm definitely going to hold you guys to that. So you can go back and fix all your mistakes, or you can have $10 million right now.
This is really...
$10 million, hands down.
That's what I was thinking. But if I fix all my mistakes, would I need $10 million? Or would I already have it?
I think it kind of depends on which mistakes you think you're fixing.
Exactly. Like, how do we know? Yeah, I'm going to take the money. I'm pretty happy where I am right now.
I like to think about all the things I could do with the money, so I feel like that's the right answer for me.
I am pro spending money I don't have.
I think everyone...
I've got some landscaping ideas.
People would really enjoy it if I were a millionaire, I feel like, because they'd benefit a lot from it.
At the same time, like, $10 million is such a weird amount, like...
Okay, 100.
It's a lot of money, and it's also not a lot of money at the same time. Like, you could spend that. I could spend it on Amazon in 2 hours.
It's true, probably. But at the same time...
You can buy houses on Amazon, and Menards. You can... Yeah, it's awesome.
Speaking of, I've been shopping for houses on Amazon. That's a thing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
You know, Amazon really does have everything. Let's just go ahead and say it.
Yeah, it really does. Speaking of, that's my fun question. Last week, wait, Alicia, what do you have to say?
Oh.
She's waving us off.
Alicia is actually broken right now. Call back later.
We broke Alicia. last week had Amazon Prime Day. You probably are receiving a lot of packages to your house. Hopefully you only Amazon while sober.
No.
Or not. I did not partake this year. Because I'm working on being mature.
It's overrated. Anyway,
so what is the best and worst purchase you made online? Mostly because I know what Alicia's real life answer is and I don't want to talk about cows.
Well, mine's online, so I get to say it. That I would say my best and worst purchase is actually the same thing. My freshman year of college, I used to play in a band. And I decided I was going to buy 2 half stacks. So that my band had guitar amps for shows. And I got them at a great deal. They sounded great. The problem was that the buddy that I pitched in the extra $500 for never actually paid me back for that $500. So I was stuck with 2 half stacks.
So the item wasn't terrible. It was your own personal life choices.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. But I feel like that kind of makes it go hand in hand.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, sour taste in your mouth. Online purchase. And to be fair, like, we talked about this outside not too long ago, and Alicia was like, my best purchase was a cow.
What was the cow's name again?
Lady Honey.
And I just want to make sure, did you buy this cow online?
No.
Can you buy cows online?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, well, the more you know.
I've actually never bought a cow online.
Yet. We're still expecting it.
Give me 10 minutes.
Literally, the only issue here is I don't think that she can realistically get a cow up into her apartment. That's probably the issue.
You know, I've seen some great senior breaks.
I also can't afford the cows that I want.
I know that feel.
All right. Kind of. I feel like Alicia goes shopping for cows like we would go look for cars.
Yeah, I was like, I have a thing for classic cars, and there's, yeah, that's all I gotta say about that.
So my best online purchase is actually an organizer rack for my kitchen and all my baking supplies.
Because Alicia bakes a lot. We need to get that through everyone's head. She bakes a lot.
This lady stress bakes more than I do.
Yes, it's not even that she wants to bake and eat it, it's that she stress bakes.
Has literally come up with excuses to bring me cupcakes and cakes before. Which is not a complaint. to be clear. Please bring...
I mean...
Send baked goods, preferably oatmeal cream pies.
My worst purchase was a fitness DVD that I bought with a friend that we never opened.
Yeah, I got a few of those around here. I used to go to Barnes & Noble and see those and wonder who actually bought them. Because every single one I have, I actually, like, acquired from, like, a college roommate or a post-college roommate. Collecting dust. But I really think I'm going to start streaming the Beachbody On Demand stuff and I guess just watch it and eat oatmeal cream pies. It's going really well.
I feel like you're supposed to answer what your best and worst purchase is.
Yeah. I'm going to go with my dog because technically I found Grayson on Facebook through a rescue. And so So, Grayson, if you haven't met my dogs, they are a pure joy. And so, Grayson, he used to be a little puppy. When I got him, he was 16 pounds. His mother is a purebred Doberman. I'm actually friends with her new, quote-unquote, dad, dog dad, whatever. He lives in Independence, real cool. So, gorgeous mother. His father must have been Cerberus himself. Because Grayson, even though his mother was a 60-pound Doberman, Grayson's about 120 pounds of...
He's part Clydesdale.
Yeah. And, like, he actually kind of looks like a horse. Like, he has the horse jaw.
Yeah.
So we think his father must have been, like, a horse mastiff mix or something. Anyway, very large.
Very large, but...
Very cuddly.
The noises that come out of this dog are just fascinating.
He sounds like a Maltese. Like, we
wrap sounds, him up. Yeah, he sounds like the tiniest dog you've ever heard whenever he, like, whines.
Yeah, so that dog loves me unconditionally and very affectionately. But in the summer, I just don't want to cuddle a 120-pound dog.
Well, he's a giant dog who thinks he's a lap dog.
Yeah, he thinks he's a Maltese. And his sister, like, he's a bonded pair with a Staffordshire Terrier that we also adopted from a rescue that we found online. People Helping Paws, if you're looking for a dog. Awesome rescue, located here in Mid-Missouri. My kid actually donated his birthday party to People Helping Paws last year, so that was really cool. She likes to eat expensive bedding. So, best dog I've ever met in my life is Betty. But she eats, like, she's like, oh, is this a linen cotton blend? Let me eat it. Like, what's wrong with you? Just stop eating that. Anyway, so...
That's your best and worst purchase.
I mean, if that's why they're banning pit bulls, I kind of understand it. But yeah, best and worst purchase at the same time is my dogs. Anyway, so... Let me know if you enjoyed Ben, Alicia, and I talking about the last stories of the week and getting to know us a little bit better and really understanding how crazy we actually are. Also incredibly highly caffeinated. We'll start doing this every Monday unless you all tell us not to, and that's fine. We will probably talk to you later this week. We'll have a guest. Haven't decided who it is yet. If you want to be the guest, send me a text. Or better yet, text Ben.
If you can find my phone number.
I will provide it.
Now the challenge has been issued. There you go.
You know, folks. If they can put billboards up about a term limited senator, I can get a billboard that has your phone number on it.
That's fair. I mean, I do recall an instance where you actually put the wrong phone number into the whispering tower.
I
did.
So Ben's one of those weirdos. Like, so I don't like having multiple phone numbers. So my work phone is the same as my personal phone. Ben has two phones sitting in front of him, like he thinks he's real cool.
I do think I'm really cool.
And one's his work phone, and like during the weekend he leaves it at home sometimes. It's real cute. But I have his other number, so if I need to contact him, no big deal. Anyway, I put his personal phone number in the Whispering Gallery, and he was so upset. And I'm sure he had so many texts and phone calls, but whatever. Let's not mock Ben unless you want to. Text me. I'll give you his number. But we will talk to you later this week. A little preview of this week. The president is going to be in Kansas City tomorrow/Tuesday. The vice president was in town last week. So it looks like there's a national Republican effort to get the attorney general into the Senate seat, obviously. Yep. In case you missed it.
If you've been under a rock.
Yeah, if you've been under a rock. Anyway, this has been fun. You will hear from me next Monday. You'll probably hear from Ben later this week. because I'm going to have him host and interview people.
Yay! Be excited, folks.
Be excited. All right. Thank you for tuning in for another episode of the Hashtag Millage Podcast. This has been Team Missouri Times.